rather hurt you honestly than mislead you with a lie. And who am I to judge you on what you say or do? I'm only just beginning to see the real you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Hill.
Sometimes when we touch, the honesty's too much, and I have to close my eyes and hide.
Here comes the big line.
I wanna hold you till I die, till we both break down and cry. I wanna hold you till the fear in me subsides.
You wore your pink thong for that.
Well, the reason that song is playing is because when Bev and I were dating, she dumped me.
Oh.
And we'd already had tickets to go see Dan Hill in concert at the Forum.
Ouch.
And I guess Bev had figured, well, we weren't going to do that. So I had still said, well, you know, we should still do that. Come on, let's just go as friends.
Friend zone.
Yeah. So I bought her. Oh, it was her birthday. So I bought her a mountain bike. Even though we were broken up. I don't know.
Wow.
That's what you do.
I'm going to date you now.
And then I hitchhiked from the cottage. 4.5 hours of hitchhiking. Just so I could take this woman to a Dan Hill concert. And we sat near the front row and watched the creepiest women do the weirdest dance moves to Dan Hill. And this was one of the songs.
I wanna hold you till I die.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in the studio, on the show, as a guest, my wife, Bev Marshall. Bev Marshall.
Hello. Thank you very much. Thank you.
How are you feeling about being a guest on the show today, Bevy?
Well, I had a bit of a rough morning, but that kind of probably was good because it took my mind off of coming in here and having to talk with you. So.
Yeah. Lucky you.
Lucky me.
As some of you may know, Bev is the owner of a cafe in Bell Fountain called Higher Ground Cafe. Come for the coffee.
Stay for the nature.
Tim with the coffee noises.
No, no. Well, like it was the river or the coffee. I'm not sure which one.
And Bev and I have had just a phenomenal journey. And so we have been talking about this journey and whether, you know, how do we feel about sharing it with others? Do we want to talk about it on the show? And, you know, people that know me know that I'm fine talking about anything on the show, but Bev really does not want any attention at all. So good thing you married me, because I want it all.
Works good for me.
So Bev, I guess it's safe to say that we came to a decision that sharing our journey, if it was going to help one other married couple, then let's go for it, right?
Definitely. Definitely worth it.
Yeah. She just sounded like Rain Man.
Yeah.
And we want to know who you are when it happens.
What do you mean? Want to hear from the couple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if your marriage has been positively impacted, if it's been negatively, we don't want to hear, but if it's been positively impacted by our journey, then we want to hear from you. So I've been letting everyone know that this moment is coming up, and we've just returned from Mexico, where we renewed our marriage vows after a long separation. But let's go back, and so I'm going to actually interview you about our marriage. And
I don't know if your crew are ready for this.
If they're ready?
Yeah.
What, are they going to cry and
Maybe.
Stuff?
It's probably the language they're fearing.
Yes. By the way, there is like regulations. Okay. You can't.
We don't have an 8-second delay here.
Why did you marry me? Listen to old man Withers over here.
The appropriate answer or the.
Why did you marry me?
Because you got me pregnant.
Whoa.
Ooh, baby.
Well, how do you think that happened? Happened by me?
No, but you asked the question, so that's probably the reason why we got married.
That's why we got married.
That's not why we were together, of course.
No. We had gotten engaged, but you had been thinking all along, this is not working, and so now we're engaged, and then there's a baby coming, and you're still thinking, this is not working. I don't want it to go this direction, but there was this momentum that just kind of kept going. And led us to, quote, doing the right thing. Is that fair?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think within the Christian community, too, there is a You made your bed, you're going to lie in it. And
I maybe wouldn't bring that up.
Ixnay on the ed bay.
Yeah. And no, at that point, you know, we were engaged. We were going down that road to getting married anyways. It just was a bit of a hiccup.
Right. By the way, Joanne Nielsen from Scotland is watching on the Facebook live streaming. Just want to wave to Joanne.
Joe.
What kind of a marriage was it?
In the beginning?
Well,
it's like I've got almost 30 years here. Where
I know,
do you want
but
me to start?
But okay, yeah, let's start with the beginning. What was the beginning like?
The beginning was tough. I was pregnant and very sick with my pregnancy, and we didn't have a home. We were living in a basement. We were looking for a home. You were doing all kinds of different job stuff. So I think just the emotions, the hormones, the sickness, the uncertainness, not getting along all that great during all that, probably wasn't the best beginning for any marriage.
Yeah, yeah. And my mom had just died.
That too.
So there was a weird emotional dynamic to that, I guess, right? When do you remember it changing and becoming a glorious bliss of romance?
You know we're live, right? You didn't script my answers here.
No. Was it about 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was about 3 weeks ago. Did it ever hit that point?
There have been pockets in time where I look back and it's been, oh, those were good pockets. It's like we did a commercial. We've been married how many years and seven of the best years of our lives?
Yeah, do you remember that spot?
We did a commercial.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Married for 30 years, 10 of the best years of my life.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, no.
Do you remember the darkest time?
Ooh.
That's hard to pick.
There's been a few hiccups that were dark times, but I don't think one stands out.
Well, I think, allow me to say this, because I'm not sure you would feel comfortable saying this, so let me throw myself under the bus. There was a time where I was regularly visiting strip clubs.
That was near the beginning, yes. That was part of the rocky start.
Yeah. And there was an addiction component to that. And we had to talk through that and work on that and had to be open and honest and transparent and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And there's shame that comes with that as well, especially in the Jesus community, you know? Normal people wouldn't maybe have a problem with that.
Oh, no? They might have a problem with the wife home with a brand new baby and the husband's going to strip joint. I think
that.
Across the
or
board, maybe that's
president.
Not a good thing, but yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember the would you say the best time in our marriage was when we were in Australia?
That certainly was a sweet spot. There wasn't too much negative in that, and I think that's because I remember you being the happiest I remember in a consistent setting. You had a purpose. You were affecting people's lives. People loved you. You were thriving. Kids were great. I didn't have to work. I could be the stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. It was a great time. It was a great 5 years.
Now, some people would say, well, that, you know, you no wonder God was blessing you at that time. You were serving the Lord, and God was blessing you, and then you stepped out of His blessing or His rules or His boundaries.
Grace, that's the word
I was looking for. You know, and then you're doing this radio show and you're wondering if there's a God and you're struggling in your faith and no wonder you lost your marriage.
Well, I would say that there probably is some truth to that. I think when you are helping people, I think when you're in God's calling for your life, whether that was just a short period of time, I think maybe when you're in God's Word, you're more apt to be listening. Yeah, I think there's a bunch of dynamics that go with that.
So if I was just more Christian, we wouldn't have had this problem?
I think that if you were relying on God's guidance more throughout our lives, I would hope we wouldn't have had some of the struggles. I'm not saying it would have alleviated them, but I would hope and pray that that would have been the case.
Right.
Less hiccups?
Yeah.
Less hiccups.
Yeah. Eventually, we fast forward a little bit. Kids are now grown. Just before the kids got to that moving out stage, do you remember me saying to you, I don't know a whole lot about a lot, but I do know that once the kids leave, you and I are probably not going to be together. Do you remember that conversation?
Yeah. Yeah, we had already gone our separate ways in a lot of different things, work.
Right. And I think looking back on this relationship, we avoided stuff. We avoided relationship growth because we poured so much of ourselves into our kids' lives. We avoided almost each other. It was a way of us avoiding each other by pouring so much into our kids' lives. Fair statement or not?
Sure. And I think that's something that most couples fall into. When you have our kids and they become more needy and they're involved in sports, you just naturally, all your energy is about them and getting them places and doing the best for them. And often couples lose each other in there. So
right, right. So now we're going to fast forward a bit. The kids are gone. We're left in this house alone, staring at each other, living separate lives. You're doing your thing. I'm doing my thing. We have, you know, we're amicable. We're not hating each other. We're not, like, there's no domestic violence or anything like that. But I think it might have been, I don't know if it's fair to say this, but it was worse because I just ghosted you. Like, you didn't exist. And I didn't really exist for you. You weren't leaning into me. I wasn't leaning into you. How else would you, like, what other words would you put on that time just before the end?
Avoidance. I was so busy just doing things, life, jobs, that I wasn't around very much. The job I had the year before was very demanding, so I was away a lot.
And that's a way for you to avoid. So Bev is an Enneagram 9. We've talked a lot about the Enneagram on the show. She's a peacemaker. And part of her coping mechanisms is to avoid stress and conflict. And then one of the ways you did that was to pour yourself into work, right?
Which I enjoy doing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like it was a stressful thing.
It was far less stressful than hanging out with me. For sure.
So I decide at some point in my life, I'm coming up to 50 years old. I decide to walk the Camino. I decide that there's some relationship problems in my life. And I decide that I need to shut up, stop talking for 3 months, go on this 1,000-kilometer walk. And at the end of it, I come back. Christmas morning, I speak for the first time in 3 months. And I say to you, will you marry me again? And we have a moment. You say yes. I give you a ring that you hated.
A very ugly ring, by the way, everyone.
Ooh, the face said it all.
Oh, man. It was like a symbolic ring. It wasn't like a jewelry store ring. It was made out of volcano rock and stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Volcano, that's us. Anyway, did you mean it when you said yes?
Well, it was kind of on the spot because you were filming me. But you neglected to say that. Before your 50th year, I celebrated my 50th by leaving for 2 months and going to Australia.
Oh, yeah. So just going back a step, Bev went away to Australia for her 50th.
For a month and stayed for 2 months.
And while you were gone, was it just before you left or while you were gone? Anyway, you sent me an email saying this marriage is over.
Yes. So that's a big part you kind of missed in there.
Yes.
So I'd already come to the conclusion that I was done at that point.
You had checked out. Right.
And why did I come back from that?
Yeah,
if you recall, you pulled the grandkid card.
What did I do? I got my arms crossed.
Yeah.
On that.
Nice.
I don't remember this.
We were expecting our first grandchild.
Oh, right.
We wanted to make it work. And
And you went. And you're actually a hope junkie. You're more of a hope junkie than I am,
sure.
I think.
Yeah.
Well, you're a peacemaker. So to have a family intact when grandkids are coming along, whew, that's gold for a peacemaker. And I kind of sold you on that, and you went, okay, all right. And then we were together for a few months, and I went away in the Camino, and then I came back.
Very peaceful while you were away in the Camino.
This is not going as well as you thought it was going to go.
I thought it was just me.
You had a peaceful time there, too.
Oh, it was
very
beautiful.
Peaceful.
Oh.
Good.
You said yes, and then a few months later, you left.
Yes.
So I re-propose, will you marry me again? First words after the Camino, after the silence. And you said yes. And you said yes, even though you knew, you in your mind, you had already checked out.
Yeah, because it's kind of weird because we hadn't talked that whole time you were away. And then you were home for that short time. And we still weren't talking. So we hadn't had time to discuss anything or how we were feeling or what that separation had done and what happened during that. Mm-hmm. You just had some really bouts during your journey on the Camino as well, but we didn't really talk about it. And then you proposed again. It's like, okay, yes.
This is awesome.
Frig, it's hot.
This is why he doesn't invite me to come here. The truth comes out.
So, but you still didn't actually end the marriage. I had to say to you, all right, you really don't want this, do you? Do you remember that?
Yeah, and I had kind of given myself to the end of my 50th year to make some major changes in my life because looking forward, I didn't like who I had become, and there's lots of things in my life that I didn't like,
right,
including my marriage.
Yeah.
And so that time was ticking. And so I was thinking, oh, my goodness, what am I doing?
Yeah.
So,
and we were living we were literally living separate lives. Like, we were sleeping in different rooms for a bunch of that time, right? We were just living separate lives. You're doing that proverbial living under the same roof thing. And I just – and really, all I ever wanted was – we've talked about this a lot recently with Sue, who we'll talk about – Dr. Sue Johnson. We'll talk to her soon on the show. All I really wanted was – for you to lean into me and to love me and to want to be with me and to communicate and that sort of thing. But this is how I was communicating that to you. This is my example. What is wrong with you? Why don't you like me? Why don't you lean into me? Why don't you come near me? Why don't you want to spend time with me? And that doesn't exactly create the situation that would want her to actually lean into me.
No.
No.
I actually saw her lean away.
Yeah, like
it's kind of a.
So I was really good at playing the role of victim and blaming you and being right. And what happened was I ended up in an empty house being right.
All alone.
All alone. But being right.
I left you the dog.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Dun, 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 dun. She left me the dog. During that time before the actual physical separation, I was spending a lot of time out by myself at night going to live music. I love live music. But I would inevitably connect and communicate, and I talked to you about this and talked to the kids about this admitted it or confessed is, I guess, the word. I was seeking attention from other women. And it wasn't a, you know, whoring myself. Is that a bad? That's a real word, isn't it? I just feel like I swore. Is that a real word?
It's in the Bible.
Oh, there you go. I can say it. Yeah, I wasn't like, you know, sleeping around. Some people, you know, would see me at bars a lot and wonder if that's what I was doing, but I wasn't.
I know our children were.
Exactly.
Small town.
Small town. That's what people think. People talk, et cetera, et cetera. But it certainly didn't help our situation whatsoever. Normal human thing. But not helpful at all. And in the meantime, all I really wanted, again, was for you to say, which is what we've just come to recently, is, you know what? Instead of going out, how about stay in with me? Let's hang out together tonight. That's all I ever wanted you to say. But I was so stinking victim-y and pathetic and blame-shifty and right.
That I didn't like you very much.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah. Yeah. So I then am living in an empty house and had numerous epiphanies. I don't know where I found her, but anybody? No, that's a horrible joke. Okay, failed miserably. And I just woke up one day and went, you know what? I have missed the boat here. I've always wanted Bev. Then I wondered if I did, and now I'm sure that I do. What am I doing? And then I had to... You didn't want to be in the marriage with me. You didn't want to be part of me or of my life. So I couldn't do anything about that. So what was left to do? Well, what was left was, dude, you got to get to a point where you actually like yourself. Because why would anybody else like you unless you're liking yourself? And there's some stuff you need to work on. You have numerous broken, fractured relationships. In a span of a couple of years, I lost the God I used to believe in. I lost my wife. I lost my son. I lost my grandkids.
That sums it up.
Yeah. That's a walking country song right there.
Mm-hmm. Two country songs worth.
Yeah, that's a trilogy. The common denominator was me. So I started really looking into a lot of stuff, I got to be careful of my verbiage here. De-sphincter myself.
De-drew yourself.
Yes.
Excellent.
Well, really? That's what we're saying?
Hey, I've got her on my side today.
All right, Deb.
Okay. When did you start to dig me again?
This guy that was coming around and checking in and seeing how I was and offering to be helpful. And, of course, living at Jess's, we bumped into each other.
I was living with my daughter. Yes. Oh, sorry, with our daughter.
Yes, yes. We both of our daughters. So, yeah, I was seeing you in a neutral situation and seeing the changes. And, I was very skeptical. I was looking from afar, but looking to see if there really was any changes.
it would be hard to trust that this new Drew, quote unquote, was actually something that would last, or was it just Drew trying to get you back?
Yes, because that happened before and didn't work very well.
No, but it's happened numerous times where I've changed or tried to be better, and it failed. It didn't last.
For sure.
So why would you trust this?
Well, I didn't at first, and then I don't know. It was kind of like an overnight thing. I went, because you can be on the fence for so long and think yes, no, yes, no, and then I don't know what it was. I think this last time that I went to Australia for January again, being away and being in a good position in a relationship with you where we were friends, and I think this is the first time in our lives we've been
friends.
We became friends again. And from that, I thought, okay, I think there's a good enough foundation there that we can possibly work towards more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we never had the chance to develop a friendship like most, I would say, normal couples. We dated very briefly, got pregnant, got married, bang, there you are. You're in a whole new world, to quote a Disney movie. And we just didn't have that friendship. And we were forced to work together, renovating the house to sell.
Yep.
And we spent time together. That can be stressful anyway. We were getting along and then started developing this friendship. And then I think it's fair enough to say we started dating.
Sure. We went out together.
Yeah, that's it.
Not really going steady, but going out.
Going steady. Okay, no one says that anymore. Will you go around with me?
I think we have to give Papa Granton on that one to explain what that is.
Pitching woo.
Yeah.
Then it was our 30th wedding anniversary. We had already been apart for almost a couple of years. And I said, you know what? You and I both know it's our 30th wedding anniversary next week or in a couple of days, whatever it is. Let's go out. Let's just have dinner together. And you said yes. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. So we drove by the church that we got married in and said, hold on. And I pulled over. Let's take a picture here. And you're like, what? Oh, man. So you get out of the car. We take the picture. Then we drive to our restaurant thing. You know, it was a nice place. We had a lovely dinner. And then we went for a walk in the woods. And you said stuff to me like, you know, you really should date other people.
Yes, I did.
And I took that into consideration, was wondering, and maybe, and da-da-da-da-da. And then we crossed this bridge over a waterfall on our 30th anniversary. I said, dude, yeah, I probably did say dude, didn't I? Sorry. Bev, this, come on. Could we kiss? Would you mind? It's 30th anniversary. And you said yes. Do you regret that?
Look where I landed us. That was my first mistake.
All went downhill from there.
Before or after the wine.
Yes. Oh, good point.
Oh, stop it. Okay, you're not part of this conversation anymore. Yeah. Okay. How would you describe to people, just as we kind of come to the end of clarifying our journey or summarizing our journey, because we're about to start a 9-week series with Dr. Sue Johnson, who is the author of Hold Me Tight. She's a best-selling author, a clinical psychologist, a researcher, professor, speaker, and we're going to speak to her in a few minutes. So before we get to the beginning of this 9-week series with Dr. Sue, I wanted to give people just a bit of a snapshot into us. How do you describe to people the time from I think I like him to we're in Mexico renewing our vows in a small desert island just off the coast under palm trees at sunset?
Tequila.
You're a goof.
I don't know. It's. I can't explain it. There's no explanation as to nothing happened to make that nothing decisive.
Yeah, so there wasn't an Oprah aha
moment.
No,
there wasn't anything that I went, okay, this is it. I think it was just learning to trust in what I was feeling. And I've said this to you, but for me, I had created this lovely space on a lovely farm where everything was peaceful and my life was going well. The cafe is going well. I've got new great friends in my life. And do I want to take the chance on bringing you back into my life?
Yeah, and wrecking your serenity.
And wrecking that serenity that I had built for myself. So, yeah. You know, I mean, I could hold off and wonder that for another 6 months, another year, and never come to a decision. But I guess I thought, you know, why not?
What I heard you say was, I choose you. See, that's been the thing for me. We got married by default, and I never felt chosen. And then I was so good at playing victim my entire life that I just wah-wah'd my whole way through our marriage. And I just never felt like, A, you're a pretty stinking independent woman. I don't do clingy.
No. You found that out.
I found that out. There are some clingy psychopaths out there. And I don't do clingy, and I loved your independence. I love your independence. But the backside of your independence is you don't stink and need me.
Not for much. But you have become very useful.
Okay. Well, it's time to go to commercial break. And
that's part of the endearing part of this dating and friendship. You became someone who was helping me and that I could rely on if I needed an extra set of hands or to be there when I was doing stuff. So, I mean, that goes a long way.
So for my part of this, for you to come to a point in your life where you say, you know what, Drew, I carved out a life of serenity and I love my life. I love the farm. I love the business. I don't need you in my life, but I choose you. That turned the light switch for me. That was just done. Huge.
Sure.
And then to see you not only choose me, but want me. And to, now this is going to get a little too mushy here, but cuddle into me on the couch and for us to spend some, you know, some such beautiful, warm time together. Like, these are things that I've wanted my entire life, and I was such a jerk that you didn't want to do that stuff.
Yep. That about sums it up.
Okay. All right. Tim, I want to bring you in on this. As you've
okay.
been hearing this, is there anything that you heard that stood out to you or that you need clarification on or that, yeah, do you want to say anything?
I've been a fly on the wall for all of this, not necessarily intimately connected, but I saw it all. I guess I could understand why it fell apart. I mean, I've known Bev probably just as long as you have, not necessarily in a romantic way, but
easy.
You always knew Bev was independent Bev. And, you know, we were always amazed that anybody started to date her and that it, even more amazing, it was Drew Marshall. And that's the long side of the story.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so sad for you guys when it did happen, when it did fall apart officially. Mm-hmm. Really heartbroken for both of you. But then I just remember when you called me that day and said, guess what? It was like, what? Like, I had no idea it was coming. And
what,
I was
that
just
we
like,
were getting back together?
Yes.
All right, yeah.
And it was a wonderfully pleasant surprise. But I also have been able to look back at the whole Enneagram and getting my life together and seeing little moments like, you know, when you and your son start to connect again and the grandkids and so mm-hmm. on and so forth, mm-hmm. that in some ways I wasn't surprised either. I know that sounds like sitting on the fence, but yeah, I mean, that's as an observer, this is what I have seen. So I was completely surprised, but in retrospect, it was like, no, this kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Drew made the change. Drew did all the hard work.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when you do some really inner soul searching as to why am I the way I am, whether it's Enneagram or any other, the things you can get out there and read about and find out more about yourself, I think you're only helping yourself in all your relationships. So, you know, he did the due diligence. He did the hard work, and he dug deep and found out some key truths and probably some lies he was believing about himself. And I think that was the biggest thing. When he stopped believing some of those lies about himself, about being a victim when he's not, I think it was the catalyst to the change.
Mm-hmm. Ah, that was really well said. Sorry, I shouldn't have sounded surprised. And what I meant to say was,
you're such a great
story. Really well said. Well, okay, so I want to wrap this up, and we're going to go to a commercial break and then come back with Dr. Sue Johnson, bestselling author, clinical psychologist, researcher, professor, speaker, and author of Hold Me Tight. Sue is going to be taking us through a 9-week series, 7 weeks with her, but the whole series is going to be called Rebuilding Love. Just before we come back with Dr. Sue, I just want to let you know, I want to let our listeners know, when I allowed myself to actually have the single mindset, like, okay, Bev doesn't want me, it's over, She's telling me to date other people. Okay, and then I imagine this person or I imagine that person. And what would life be like with this person, et cetera, et cetera. They all smashed against the rock known as Bev. And what I found was what went up the list of priorities for me were the gifts and who you are as a woman. I've already said this. I don't do drama. I don't do games, neediness, clingy, dysfunctional Jerry Springerville stuff. I don't have time for that stuff. And I value common sense. And oh my goodness, this world has not been given a whole lot of common sense.
Nope.
And the amount of, I'm going to say this bluntly and maybe judgmentally, the amount of women that I talked with and allowed myself, well, okay, maybe is there something here, something there, that don't have common sense, that love drama and play games. I want to spend the rest of my life with this woman because her life makes my life a heck of a lot better. I come with enough drama.
True.
Oh, yeah.
True doubt.
Okay. So true. Just want to get that out there. Thank you for doing this because this is something that you did not want to do and you still don't want to do it, but you just did it. So thank you.
No worries.
I was made for loving you, baby, by Kiss.
Why I chose it because it seemed like it was perfect.
You're hilarious.
You got Dan Hill. I figure I'd push back a little bit.
That's good. Yeah, from Dan Hill to Kiss. That explains us,
yeah,
really?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Thank you. I love you.
I love you too.
Ooh, really? Ooh, I got all tingly there.